Okay, we're starting a special class in the Maharal, in this fantastic work, Be'er HaGola, and I'd rather let him introduce himself. One of the great things in Jewish works is that their introductions are worth reading. Sometimes the introduction to a book has such tremendous insights it becomes a classic in its own right. Like Maimonides' introduction to the 10th chapter in Sanhedrin became its own great work. Maimonides' introduction to his commentary on Pirkei Avos became its own great work in its own right. Maimonides' introduction to Mishnah became its own great work in its own right. Maimonides wrote an introduction to Yad HaChazaka, what's commonly known as the Sefer HaMitzvos. It became a great classic in its own right, and the same holds true for many, many commentaries. Maimonides is more famous than others, but if you look closely, you'll see that the Meiri's introductions are great works in their own rights, as well as many, many other Rishonim. Their introductions are phenomenal, and they also explain what they're here to do. So, rather than me introduce the Maharal, we had a few words about who the Maharal was. Let's hear the Maharal himself in his introduction. We're beginning the great work, Be'er HaGula, and we'll begin. B'meh Sheshlemut HaAdam. You guys have it? Now, the it's probably thunder. Okay, fireworks. B'meh Sheshlemut HaAdam B'idiyatu V'asagat HaNimtzayim. A person, when we speak about a person's wholeness, well, part of being a whole person, the essence of being a whole person, says the Maharal, is in the person's capacity to perceive correctly what exists in the world, to have a correct understanding of what he's seeing. And therefore, haya yoter rishona ladat v'lehasig mahut atzmo. So what we would think should be the first area of knowledge would be to understand our own essence. If life is about gaining understanding about the essence of the world, then the first area of knowledge should be understanding ourselves. V'lo yes achal b'asagat atzmo, and a person should not be foolish when it comes to understanding himself. U'v'emet atzaga zot lo kalai, but the truth is that to know yourself, that's not easy at all. And here you guys can look it up in Shakespeare, you can look it up in philosophy, all over. This above all to thine own self be true, know thyself. There are many sources external to the Torah that have reached the same conclusion, but the truth is that King David already discussed this. We learned about this in the Drashos HaRan, we learned about this in the Drashos HaRamban. The truth is that a person has to try and understand themselves, and that's not easy. Kilo rabim yachkamu b'asaga zot, because not many people really are smart in understanding this. He asagat madrigat atzmo. That is understanding a person's own level. Ve'im kaluta hi mitzad etzem asaga hazot. And although you might say the idea of understanding this is easy, ki rak yiftach eino yimtzahu le'atzmo, because you only have to open your eyes and you find yourself. You know, the first thing you know is that you exist. A baby doesn't understand anything but that he himself exists. Ki lo rachoku velo b'shamayim la'kir erech metziut atzmo, because it's not so far away. You don't have to look up to the heavens to understand that you yourself exist. Asher en davar karov yoter mizeh, because there's nothing that's closer to ourselves than ourselves. Ach rov bnei adam yasigu hasaga hazot b'chiluf mashehu. But most people, they get it backwards. And they perceive themselves in the exact opposite of what they really are. Ki aroch atzmo l'rishonim. Because people think that there's no difference between me and my predecessors. I'm as big as Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Rabbi Yehuda Anossi, Maimonides. Okay, Maimonides was a smart man. I'm not so dumb either. Most people, when they think about themselves, their perception of themselves is convoluted. Ki yarich atzmo l'rishonim. And they equate themselves with the first generations. The yomar ki gam lo lev. And a person says, I'm no fool. I also was granted a mind. I was also granted intelligence. Vayamim rishonim enam tovim eile. And you know what? Who's to say the rabbis of the Gemara were any better than today? Ki hachochma shenata yotzer hakol. person will tell you, you know, God granted everyone brains. We all have the same capacity for intelligence. Ki ishei hamin echadu. We're all homo sapiens, we're all human beings. V'amachshela hazot tachat yadam. And this is the great stumbling block that people have. That when people evaluate, they come in to learn, and they look at the Torah, and they look at everything they learn, and they feel like, I can do that too. So Rashi thought this was pshat in the pasuk, and I think differently. Maybe if Rashi were here to hear me, he'd write differently. But truly smart people are those who can evaluate themselves honestly. And this isn't easy, as he said earlier. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says one of the levels in acquiring Torah is yodat mekomo, for a person to know his own place. It's not easy. Lo yavoru mishpat b'mamonam u'mikol sheken begufam. They don't go against justice with their assets, and the more so with their bodies. V'ze nikra erech hachachamim. And this is what we talk about when we speak about wise men. Firstly, when we talk about wise men, it's at least he should know his own place. He should know who he himself is. That's not to say a person doesn't have strengths, but he should recognize what they really are, what their value really is. As the Talmud tells us in Tractate Eruvin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, you guys know who Rabbi Yochanan was? He compiled the Jerusalem Talmud. Rabbi Yochanan was a man who lost all 10 children, all his children until the last one, the little one, died before his eyes. Rabbi Yochanan was a beautiful individual. When he'd walk into the room would shine up from his beauty. He had extraordinary skin that would literally give off light. He was such a giant, it was like you'd see him, you'd think you were looking at an angel. And Rabbi Yochanan said, Liban shel rishonim kepitcho shel ulam. Just so you understand how big Rabbi Yochanan was, his student Reish Lakish, his student and brother-in-law, was so big that everyone knew that if Reish Lakish would talk to you in the street, that meant that you were a person who could be trusted with any amount of money and you don't even have to sign a contract. That was Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, who was Rabbi Yochanan's student, people knew was such a giant that you wouldn't catch him talking to an individual unless that individual was so big that you could trust him with any amount of money without signing a contract.
Did he ignore everybody else?
Well, he wouldn't. He never had time to talk. He was always learning. If you actually saw him talking to someone like he was his buddy, you knew that that person had to be a very, very trustworthy person. That was Reish Lakish. And Reish Lakish was a disciple of Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish was a man that bandits once stole money from Rabbi Yochanan. He ignored everything. He himself was an ex-bandit. He used to be a chief bandit. He ran after them, and they looked at him like, who's he? And he said, you guys better give that money back. He was once captured by cannibals. There's a whole story. Reish Lakish was a powerful man.
Say that again. The guy who used to talk to people, whoever he would talk to, they knew he was trustworthy, he used to be an ex-bandit?
Correct. But when he did tshuva, he became one of the great sages of the Jewish people. And he was a disciple of Rabbi Yochanan.
He used to be an ex-bandit, but there was that one guy who used to think that.
Okay, so Rabbi Yochanan says, "Liban shel rishonim kepitcho shel ulam." The hearts, the understanding of the earlier generations is like the entrance to that huge hall in the temple called the Ulam that was 20 amos wide. That's something that's very easy to walk into. That's like a 40 feet wide. Well, you don't need 40 feet to enter. You guys ever see any hall that has an entrance 40 feet wide? Maybe. Yes, you might have seen the entrance was 40 feet wide. So the hearts of the earlier generations was like the entrance to the Ulam. Vishelachonin, and the later generations, Kipitcho Shelechal, like the entrance to the room called the Heichal, that was only 10 amos wide, it was only 20 feet wide. Ve'anu, and what about us? Rabbi Yochanan says, Kimlo Machat Nekev Sidkit. Our hearts, well, our understanding is like the thin needle that you use to fix clothing with. When you have clothing, you don't want a thick needle to make a new hole. You need a very thin needle to have invisible weaving to fix a garment. So that kind of needle, the eye of that needle, that's what I'm like, Rabbi Yochanan said about himself. The earlier generations were like 40 feet wide, later generations 20 feet wide entrance, and I'm like this little eye of the needle. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said about him, about himself, and he's the one who compiled the Jerusalem Talmud. Rishonim, what does he mean when he says the earlier generations? It's Rabbi Akiva. Achonim, what does he mean? Later generations, Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua. Ikadamri, others say Rishonim is Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua. The earlier generations was the generation of Rabbi Lazar ben Shamua. And Achonim, the later generations, was Rabbi Yoshaya b'Rebi. Rabbi Yoshaya, the son of Rebi. Ve'anu kimlo nekev machat tzidkit. And we, Rabbi Yochanan said about himself, were like that eye of the needle. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, now Abaye is an Amora. You will almost not find a page in Shas that does not mention Abaye. Abaye appears on almost every page in the Shas. One of the greatest Amoraim. A Kohen. He was orphaned as a baby. And adopted by his uncle Rabbi Bar Nachmani. Abaye, who lived about 100 years, or maybe about 100, 150 years after Rabbi Yochanan, he said, the Anan, and we, this is Abaye who appears in all of Shas, and we, our generation is, Kesichta Beguda Ligmara.
That's what I can ask you. What
Shas? Shas is the Talmud.
The Talmud,
the whole Talmud. You have 20 volumes of Talmud here. You won't find almost one page in all these volumes that Abaye doesn't appear. Okay? Shas is Shisha Sidre, the six orders of Talmud. Of Mishnah, on which the Talmud is written. Abaye said, and our generation, Abaye says about himself, Kesichta Beguda Ligmara. We're like, if you have a little hole in the wall, and you try to put in a spoke, so you take a piece of wood that's bigger than the hole, and you start banging and trying to fit it into that little hole so that it'll stay there, right? So he says, that's what we're like. We don't even have the heart. You know, Rav Yochanan says, I'm like that eye of the needle. At least there's still a hole. You could get something in. Abaye says, when it comes to our understanding, in order for us to get something, we're like trying to fit in a peg into a tight, tight spot in the hole. That's how hard we have to work to try and get something right. We're nowhere near the generation of Rabbi Yochanan when it comes to Talmud. Ve'amar Rava, and then Rava said, Ve'anan, and we, our generation, ketzbata bekira lisvara. We're like trying to put your finger through wax. If you have a wax candle, try to pierce it. Yeah, eventually you might get it in a little bit. But he says, that's what we're like when it comes to our logic. Again, you will be hard-pressed to find one page in all these volumes where Rava doesn't show up. Abaye and Rava were contemporaries. Abaye and Rava show up on almost every page in Talmud. And yet Rava says, in our generation, when it comes to our logic, we're like trying to put a finger into wax. V'amar Ravashi, and then Ravashi comes, the last generation, Ravashi who compiled the Talmud, and he said, V'anan ketzbata bebira l'shikcha. And we forget things so easily, it's like sticking a finger into a pit. You have a pit, you can easily stick your finger in. That's how quickly we forget anything we learn. That's what Ravashi says. Now this is the great Ravashi. He had the final word in all of Shas. He's the one who compiled the Talmud. And he said about himself that. Adkan, this is the quote from the Talmud in Erevin. Harehim hodu, you see here, the giants of the Jewish people were honest. And they admitted their weaknesses. And they admitted their faults and their lackings when it came to their intelligence, their memory, their logic. They weren't embarrassed to say the truth. And you see, they gauged, they estimated how great their predecessors were. The gamla achronim, and even that they gauged generation by generation. They didn't say anyone who preceded us was greater than us. They said the earlier generations were this much greater than us. The later generations were that much greater than us. And this is where we're holding. V'hodu b'shelahim, and they also admitted where they were holding. So, we're just starting. You guys have koach? You want to continue? or pause here till next time. How many people want to pause here? How many people want to continue? Okay. I don't have the same version as you. So, okay, we'll continue a little bit. We'll compromise. Now look at how the generations evaluated things. What they were explaining is that the earlier generations were complete logic, complete intelligence. Because a human being is composed of a body and a mind. The earlier generations, the mind overpowered the body. The mind was the forerunner. He was the powerful part of the person. And when a person is all brain, so then he can really understand a lot. And then his physical weaknesses, they don't stand in his way. The more we focus on the physical parts of life, the less our mind can grow. The more we develop our mind and let the physical go by the wayside, the less the physical gets in our way of attaining understanding. So he compares it to this wide entrance. You know, you want to walk into a room and you have 40 feet, you have a door that's 40 feet wide. It's pretty easy to go into that. That's how they were. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan said, that the hearts, the understanding of the earlier generations is like the entrance of the ulam. Because that entrance is 20 amma, 40 feet. And it's much bigger than you need to enter. Because a normal entrance is 10. That's what it says in the beginning of that tractate. It says anything bigger than 10 amos, you have to minimize that. It's an unusual entrance. More than 10 is beyond what's necessary. Because anything more than that seems like a breach in the wall. You have up to 20 feet, okay, 20 feet, up to 20 feet could be an opening. Beyond that is a breach. So their hearts were like a huge breach. You could just, the wisdom just flowed in. So when one's mind is so powerful, so then he's like this huge entrance where he could just soak in and absorb, and that's the earlier generations, that's what Rabbi Akiva was like. Because a regular entrance is 10, and their hearts was 20. He's coming to say their hearts were double what was necessary. They were geniuses. So he didn't want to say their hearts were like a regular entrance, which is 10. So he doubled it. He said 20. He said like the ulam. What about the latter generations? He said their hearts are like, their understanding is like the entrance to the heichal. Perusha pitach karui, meaning that the entrance to the Eichel was exactly 10. That's a normal entrance. What he meant to say is, "Dainu asaram, avelo ayakan davar pachot mipetach, afidu davar muat." Meaning they weren't lacking anything. They were the norm, so to speak. They were like a regular entrance. They understood things the way a human being should understand things. That generation, their minds were the way they should have been. Dainu patuch lekabel. They were open to understand. Velo ayakuver asechel al aguf. Their hearts and mind were in perfect equilibrium. Rabbi Akiva was a generation that went to the extreme. His mind and his generation, they could absorb far more than any normal generation could. The latter generations, when he says their hearts were like the heichal, their hearts were like the correct measurement, what he meant is they were a balanced generation. They weren't the extreme geniuses of Rabbi Akiva's generation, but they weren't missing anything. So, I think we'll pause here and we'll pick up here Be'ezrat Hashem next Thursday night, which is in 2 weeks. Now, I feel like we didn't do justice to the introduction because what is the purpose of this book? So the purpose of this book is to address the claims that people would have against the sages. He first gives this introduction of appreciation for the sages, and then he enumerates what are the claims that people would have against the sages, ranging from they didn't know what they were talking about to they changed the Torah, they adulterated the Torah, they added to the Torah, and then he addresses each and every claim. So that's what the book is about. The book is about addressing the claims one might have about the against the sages. And I think it's a very important book for us to learn. So I'm happy we started it tonight. As you see, there's a long way to go, and slowly, slowly we'll get there. But as you also see, we have people who attend these classes for years, some in person and some online. So even if you have to move on from Machon Meir in the future, and we didn't finish the book while you were here, you could keep following online.